But now we're delving into the world of military history with our regular correspondent, Dr. Damien Fenton, and he's turning his eye to some key points of the Pacific War during World War II. Sorry, I slipped in World War I there. Of course it was World War II in July 1945. Good evening, Damien.
Hey, Karen.
You're taking us back 75 years to July 1945. What happened specifically in that month?
Okay, July is really interesting because you're coming to the end of the fighting for Okinawa, which was the last major island invasion by the Americans, and it was the first real piece of Japanese territory, home territory, taken by the Americans. It was a three-month battle, cost hundreds of thousands of lives, and after Okinawa, the Americans basically had everything in place they needed to begin planning to invade Japan itself. And in July, I think really the Allied leaders had to make a really serious decision as to whether they were going to go ahead with this invasion or whether, as the American President Truman had in his back pocket, they were going to use these atomic bombs that had been developed.
Yes, and the war in Europe, of course, it ended in May when we hear about VE Day victory in Europe. That was May 8th, 1945, so this is a couple of months later, so they were still trying to win the war in Japan.
Yeah, it's almost like a forgotten phase of World War II, because obviously VE Day in Europe and the fall of Berlin and death of Hitler and so on, I mean, that's obviously very important. But there were still, hundreds of thousands of people engaged in the fighting in the Pacific against the Japanese. And that war still had some way to play. And indeed, the planning for the invasion of Japan saw that the war would continue into 1946. And it also had implications for a lot of those soldiers in Europe, including the New Zealanders who were fighting in Italy. They ended the war at the top of Italy around Trieste. It looked like the New Zealand government was going to commit itself to providing at least a brigade of New Zealand soldiers to fight in the invasion of Japan as part of a British, Canadian and Australian Commonwealth force.
How difficult had the Battle of Okinawa been for the Allied troops?
It was really bloody. It was one of the bloodiest battles of the Pacific, and this was what was really worrying Allied planners about the invasion of Japan, because the Americans first began these sort of island invasions right back in 1942 when you go to Guadalcanal and the Solomons. And basically, the trend was from that point onwards, every island that the Americans invaded, they succeeded in taking, but generally it got costlier and costlier each time they took a Japanese island. The Japanese fought harder and harder. American casualties proportionally kept rising. And Okinawa cost about 130,000 American casualties, including 36,000 dead. And by sort of extrapolating that and the previous experience in the Pacific, the Allied planners told Truman and Churchill that they could expect up to 1 million Allied casualties if they actually did launch an invasion of Japan.
Geez. So what forces made up the Allied forces fighting in the Pacific War then? You mentioned New Zealand, Canada.
Yeah, I mean, the Pacific was really America's show. The Americans pretty much took on responsibility for it after Japan bombed them in Pearl Harbor. And the British under Winston Churchill were reasonably happy to go along with it, basically because the British were already overstretched, fighting in Europe, although they did maintain troops fighting in Burma to protect India. Australia and New Zealand, we'd already committed troops to the Middle East, fighting in North Africa, so we had decisions to make as to whether we would bring those troops home or leave them in the European theatre. New Zealand in the end decided to leave the New Zealand division in the European theatre. The Australians brought their troops home to fight in the Pacific, and the Australians fought in New Guinea and the Solomons, and then later on in Borneo. So it was, but the majority of the fighting was carried out by the Americans, particularly the American Marines. Marines only served in the Pacific; they never served in Europe, and most of those beach invasions were spearheaded by the Marines.
And as you said, the concern was that the human cost in invading Japan could place casualty numbers at, did you say, 1 million or
yeah,
more?
Yeah, that was the fear. And that was on the Allied side. I mean, the Japanese themselves would probably have lost, even more, because if the Americans, lost 100,000 casualties in Okinawa, including 36,000 dead, the Japanese had lost over 250,000 dead, which was about, the campaign lasted basically 3 months, which sort of averages out to 2,500 Japanese dying every day, including 20,000 civilians that basically committed suicide rather than be taken by the Allies. Towards the end of the campaign, there's these horrible scenes. It was actually caught on film of Japanese civilians, mothers and, you know, with their children throwing themselves off the rocks into the ocean rather than be taken by the Americans. And so the Japanese themselves were, the Japanese leadership under Tojo, were trying to prepare the Japanese people for an all-out war to the end, to the bitter end, including mobilizing what they called the militia, which was basically every able-bodied male between the ages of about 10 and 90 that could walk, and which gave them effectively 28 million militia plus an army of about 6 million ready to fight in the Japanese home islands should the Americans land. And they were ordered, you know, the usual sort of Japanese thing, to fight to the death and to take, you know, as many Americans and other Allied soldiers as they could with them. You know, women were expected to commit suicide or, you know, kill an American with a knife if you could before you go, and that sort of thing. You know, this militia were handed out pamphlets on which told them how to make homemade bamboo spears. I mean, it was really desperate stuff, but, you know, it all added up to an enemy that was going to fight to the death.
So when did the strategy of the US take place? When did they decide that they couldn't afford the casualties and they were going to do it another way?
Truman basically kept his options open right up until the last minute. He was keeping tabs on the atomic bomb project, and he was hoping to use it, but it had to be in time. And he wanted the bombs ready for, I think, the first week of August. And the scientists sort of, you know, quibbled about whether that was going to be possible or not. But in the end, they made it, and they had two bombs ready. The problem was that these were the only two bombs that America had at that point. One of the other fears that the Americans had was that the bombs might not work, or B, they could be lost in transporting them to the combat zone. So the bombs were going to be flown by B-29 bombers from an island in the Marianas called Tinian. And to get the bombs to Tinian, they decided that they'd send them there in parts and assemble the bombs on the island. And one of the U.S. ships carrying the actual fissible material for the bomb Little Boy, which was the one used on Hiroshima, was a cruiser called the USS Indianapolis. And it arrived in Tinian, delivered its cargo on the 26th of July, and then 4 days later on its return journey, it was sunk by a Japanese submarine, went down, had a crew of about 1,200, only 300 survived, and it was actually the inspiration for the story Jaws, because most of the men were killed by sharks. And it's actually, if you watch the movie Jaws, the guy in it, you know, the crusty old sailor, he's actually one of the survivors, and he talks about it. So if the Japanese, if that submarine had been lucky 4 days earlier, you know, the Americans would have been down to one bomb. So one of the problems was that the Americans faced was whether the bombs would work. And then the other problem they had to consider was that even if they used these two bombs, what if the Japanese decided they would keep fighting if they refused to surrender?
Well, how long had they been working on this atomic bomb project? How long had it been in the offing for these two bombs?
The Manhattan Project goes right back to about 1941. It really starts to gear up once the Americans become involved in the war. But, I mean, the Americans had a small atomic program. All of the major combatants in the Second World War had atomic weapons programs to one degree or the other. The Germans did, and the Japanese did as well. The problem for the Japanese was they just simply couldn't get hold of the crucial materials like uranium and so on that they needed to actually make a bomb. So the Japanese research kind of petered out, didn't go anywhere. But it did make the Japanese aware, or certainly the Japanese high command, aware of the possibility of atomic weapons. And so they knew about them. They knew they existed. They also knew that the Allies were pursuing them. But nobody up until that bomb actually dropped in Hiroshima really knew just exactly how destructive these things were going to be.
No, so when exactly did the bombing of Japan take place? Because it wasn't at the same time, was it?
No, so Truman finally gives the order gives the go-ahead on the 3rd of August, 1945. And so that's effectively the date when the planned invasion, the land invasion of Japan, is effectively called off. Up until that point, preparations had been going full steam ahead. And it's only on the 3rd of August when Truman gets confirmation that both bombs are now on the island of Tinian and are both basically ready to use, that he effectively gives the order for the bombings to be carried out and for preparations for the invasion to be basically postponed. And then, of course, that they were never resurrected. The first bomb is 6th of August on Hiroshima, and then the second bomb was dropped on Nagasaki on the 9th of August. And on the same day, on the 9th of August, the Soviet Union declared war on Japan and invaded the Japanese forces in China, in Manchuria. So the Japanese were being confronted by all sides with you know, basically the final destruction of their empire.
Have you ever seen any pictures of these bombs? How big were they?
There's plenty of pictures of them. They were given nicknames. The bomb dropped on Hiroshima was called Little Boy, and it almost looks like a cartoon bomb. It basically looks like a football with sort of fins on it. And then the second bomb was called Fat Boy, and it was bigger, it had bigger tonnage. But they were basically just round. The bombs were just dropped from the aircraft. They had no guidance system of their own or anything. They had to be dropped just like a conventional wartime bomb from a B-29. And it was really, the whole thing was really just an experiment. Nobody really knew for sure, A, whether they would work, and B, how destructive they would be. And at first, the Japanese themselves weren't entirely convinced that those cities had been hit by atomic bombs. They thought that they had perhaps had been attacked by conventional bombs. Because in the 9 months leading up to August, the US Air Force had been carrying out a strategic bombing campaign against Japan in preparation for the invasion, and had targeted over 60 Japanese cities with conventional bombs, particularly incendiaries, and particularly there was a really bad raid on Tokyo in March 1945, which created a firestorm and destroyed much of central Tokyo, something like 16 square miles in all, killed over 100,000 people and left a million people homeless, and that was just done with conventional bombs.
And were they given any warning that this was going to happen in Japan?
No, about the nuclear bombs. No, in July, the Allies issued a final ultimatum to Japan for it to surrender unconditionally. Japan ignored it and continued to fight on. The only people who knew about the bombs were obviously the American leadership, the British. Truman had informed Churchill, and just before the bombs were to be used, Truman decided that he would inform Stalin as well, and tell the Russians about these, that the Americans had basically completed their atomic weapons project.
Was there any disagreement within the Allied command about dropping those atomic bombs?
Not really, not by that stage, and particularly given the sobering figures that the planners had provided them, that up to a million of their soldiers could die if they went ahead with the land invasion. I mean, nobody really wanted to have responsibility for that, particularly if the American public would find out later on that you had the option of using these bombs that would end the war there and then, rather than take another up to another year and a million casualties. So the only real doubts were about, firstly, whether the bombs would work. They were terrified that if these things didn't work, that the Japanese would decide that the American atomic program was all bluff and would just reconcile themselves to fighting onwards.
And it was horrendous, wasn't it? Tens of thousands killed instantly.
The attack on Hiroshima was actually destroyed more of the city than the attack on Nagasaki. Nagasaki was slightly different because of the nature of the terrain around it. There was sort of very hilly and ravines, which channeled a lot of the blast. Both bombs were destructive, although they didn't kill as many. I mean, the fire raid on Tokyo actually killed more people than both bombs combined. The destruction was the fact that it only actually took one aircraft to do this, whereas the firestorm on Tokyo, that required about 400 Allied air bombers to deliver that.
And what might have happened, do you think, if the bombs hadn't been dropped?
If the bombs hadn't been dropped, then the invasion would have had to go ahead. And the invasion, it was going to go in two parts. There was going to be an invasion of the island of Kyushu in the south in November 1945, and then that would be followed up by an invasion of basically Honshu to capture Tokyo in March 1946. And that second invasion was going to be the bigger of the two, but Kyushu was really the crucial one because they were going to use Kyushu as a base to build up, to allow them to bring in Allied fighter aircraft and short-range aircraft to really completely achieve air superiority over Japan. And the Japanese realized this too, so they were going to throw everything into the defense of Kyushu. They had about 400,000 troops there, plus about another 500,000 militia, and they were going to throw every single last plane that the Japanese had, about 10,000 aircraft in all. They were going to basically throw them all into kamikaze attacks against the Allied fleet, bringing that invasion force to Kyushu.
Gee, and obviously this signalled the dawn of the atomic age and, of course, the arms race between the US and the Soviet Union.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some people have suggested that the reason the Americans dropped the bombs on Japan was really about trying to warn Russia, warn the Soviets about their capabilities. But, to my mind, everything I've ever seen suggests to me that it was really about defeating Japan as quickly and efficiently as possible with the least loss of Allied lives. Stalin, when he was told by Truman that that the Allies had the bomb, made a real point of feigning indifference, that he wasn't at all impressed with this, because he didn't want to. He was actually quite horrified to realise that Allies had succeeded in their atomic program, whereas the Soviet atomic program was years behind at that point.
Thanks very much, Damien. It sounds, as I said, horrendous is the word that I think of, but appreciate you taking us back there.
No, not a problem. Cheers, Karen.
That's Dr. Damien Fenton.